Sundays and Wednesday nights, we've been focusing on asking Jesus to show us his glory and healings. Now, the whole theme is still following God into all doom and gloom. But we've been saying specifically in July, Lord, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. It's not all about sickness and disease and death. We are asking you to show us your glory and healing. We're asking him to help us to rely upon the Holy Spirit, or to understand how to hear the Spirit of God and then to share what the Spirit of God speaks to us. From the prophet Isaiah, we learn that the suffering Messiah would not only die for the sins of the world, but through his suffering, there is healing for those who believe. By his stripes, Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. And as Keith was saying way back, first and foremost, that means peace with God. That means, first and foremost, that the greatest healing must be that spiritual healing. And that spiritual healing, I really have to emphasize again tonight, is the equivalent, if it was carried out physically, is the equivalent of raising people from the dead. Because we are dead to God spiritually. And when the Spirit of God comes into our lives, he quickens our spirit to life again, and we are born again. But by his stripes we are healed also means that he who bore our infirmities wants to heal as well. And so we then saw Jesus the Messiah declare that when he read Isaiah's prophecy, and I was saying this morning, we were saying it again in the early prayer meeting, that when he read Isaiah's prophecy, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that these words were fulfilled in him. It was Jesus who had the Spirit of the Lord upon him to preach and to heal and to deliver. But I believe, and I hope most people here will now believe, I believe Isaiah's prophecy goes beyond the ministry of Jesus to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church on the day of Pentecost and to all believers down through the generations, to all who believe in Jesus. Having ascended to heaven to sit at God the Father's right hand, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sent the Holy Spirit to anoint those whom he had commissioned to go into the world to preach the gospel. But he anointed them for a purpose. Just as Jesus had a mission and a ministry, he required the Holy Spirit to enable him to fulfill his ministry and his mission. So when Jesus said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel, he first said to his disciples, but do nothing until you receive power from on high, and then go and do it. And so he's saying the same to us. I now, who have been given all authority in heaven and earth, I'm commissioning you with that authority to go into the world, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, and they will recover. And so with the help of the Holy Spirit, the disciples of Jesus were to preach the gospel and baptize believers, and the Lord promised he would be with them and would confirm his word through signs and wonders, i.e. through healing and deliverances and miracles. Well, we've also come to understand that the work Jesus began to do is continuing to this day through the believers, the church. We've been commissioned by Jesus to go and tell others. And we've received the Holy Spirit so that we can say that as we sang, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And just as he came upon Jesus to do all of the wonderful works that Jesus did, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to do all the wonderful works that I did and even greater works. It's hard to believe. Like, it really is. You struggle to say it except for it's in God's word. And you have to accept, if it's in God's word, you have to believe it. We've been commissioned to be able to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and I can go and do these things. So we too should expect to see the word of the Lord confirmed by the accompanying signs and wonders as we live and share the gospel with others. And I want to just fly through this very quickly so that we have time to wait on the Spirit tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul writes these words. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, let me just put this into context first. The Apostle Paul has said, I need you to bear with me here because there's these people who are coming into the church and they're boasting about all of the things that they think they are and all of their own greatness and whatever else. And Paul says, look, bear with me here while I boast for a bit. And he talks about incredible things that has happened in his life and how God has used him in wonderful ways. Then he says this, Unlest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. Now there's a wee clue here that a lot of sicknesses come from Satan. Okay, so be very clear about a lot of sicknesses are demonic. Okay, so he says, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, as Billy said this morning when he was sharing. You know, thank God for our sufferings at times, because our sufferings, see, and Sandra's face, because our sufferings press us into the Lord. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. And Paul saying, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, people often wonder, you know, when they cry to God, why they're not healed of sickness or infirmity. And as leaders, we often hear, why are some people healed and some not? Well, I don't want to get into a debate on this issue, other than to say I don't honestly know if there is a single answer to that question. Yes, there can be many reasons why some people are not healed, which can be argued about and can even cause offense. But when it comes to individuals being healed or not, I believe it is best left with the Lord. Having said that, we read in our passage that the Apostle Paul was not relieved. He was not healed of whatever it was that he called his thorn in the flesh. And he's a man who considered himself to be the chief of sinners. And yet he was one of the most influential men in the Bible, used powerfully by God to preach, to heal, and to set captives free, even raising people from the dead. And still, he was not healed of his affliction. If you turn to 2 Timothy, if you've got a Bible and you want to, 2 Timothy, and I'm going to be looking briefly at chapter 4, verse 18 to 20. The Apostle Paul writes again, this great man who considered himself the chief of sinners says these words, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Did I just read that? Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Trophimus was a Greek believer who sometimes accompanied the Apostle Paul. And together they preached the gospel, they healed the sick, and they did miraculous works in the name of the Lord. And yet, Paul had to leave him in the city of Miletus because he was too ill to travel. Have I missed something here? I'm certain, absolutely certain, that Paul and Trophimus would have prayed and asked the Lord for healing. But it didn't happen. You see, the reality that we must all face and learn to live with as Christians is that not everyone who asks gets healed. We can excuse the lack of healing with Christian cliches such as, oh, a greater healing will one day come, you know, when you die. You know, would that be good enough for you, Sandra? No, it's not. Say it's not, Sandra. I want God to heal you. Say it's not. Well, the ultimate healing is wonderful. But, you know, it would be nice if you gave you some now for to live for the next 20 years. And don't think that God can't do that. There's a wonderful story in the Bible in the Old Testament of Hezekiah, who suddenly took out this boil, and it must have been so bad anyway. God says to the prophet, go and tell him he's going to die. Get his house in order, he's going to die. And as soon as the prophet went in, says, you're going to die, get your house in order. Cheerio now. And as he was walking out, well, Hezekiah would do what anybody would, turned his face to the wall and burned his lamps out, and asked God, please, God, have mercy upon me. And you know what? God heard him. And God said to the prophet, hear you, get back there and tell him that I have heard his cry and I am going to heal him and give him another 15 years of living. So let me tell you, God can do that. But the reality that we must all face and learn to live with as Christians is that not everyone who asks gets healed. And as I said, we can excuse the lack of healing with Christian cliches such as a greater healing will one day come, or it's just not God's time yet, or worse, it mustn't be the will of God. But the truth is, God is God, and his ways are far above ours, and we cannot necessarily understand why the healing hasn't happened. But we can learn from the Apostle Paul, who said, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What was it about Paul that could allow him to accept he wasn't going to be healed, that his thorn in the flesh was staying? It was nothing of Paul. It was nothing of Paul that made him say he would accept it and boast of his infirmity. It was what the Lord told Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. When we are weak with sickness, disease, or infirmity, the Lord says it is his opportunity to show forth his grace and his power to rest upon us. Why are some people not healed? Because the Lord has purposed to lavish grace upon them and demonstrate his power through their weakness. Sickness, disease, and infirmity can be used by the Lord to confirm his word, his love, and his power, and be the very sign and wonder that he wants to use to impact others through you. You see, even in weakness and sickness, following God ain't all doom and gloom. But I don't want to leave people tonight with this negative view. I still believe that the power of God is here to heal. I still believe that we have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. We sang the song. We know as Christians that the Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell within us, and we know that the Spirit of God can come and immerse us in his power and with himself and envelop us with himself. And we can say tonight, come Holy Spirit and use me, and see the kingdom of God break into Satan's kingdom tonight and take away sickness and take away disease and take away suffering that belongs to the kingdom of darkness, and show forth the kingdom of light and of love and of God. So let's take time again this evening to look to God who heals and ask his Spirit to move among us and bring healing to those who are sick. And you know what? If people get healed, well, hey, hallelujah. And if not, hallelujah still, because God has purposed that His power will be made perfect in their weakness. Because God says His grace is sufficient and His strength is made perfect in weakness tonight. So we're going to, again, wait upon the Spirit of the Lord. And I say this in the early prayer meeting each time, that when it comes to this, I say to the Lord, don't leave me standing like an Egypt. But you know what? I don't mind being an Egypt if it's being an Egypt for God. But we're going to wait upon the Spirit of the Lord. Yes? Yeah, yeah. Stephen, is that recording off? Please. I'll just, Billy, let me just shut, is it off, Stephen?